Welcome to our Blue Papers podcast edition. Blue Papers are our version of white papers here at 4imprint. They cover a wide range of business topics, all with an aim to help your organization succeed. This is episode number 197, Holacracy, Part 1. This episode is presented by 4imprint Incorporated customer service manager, Brandon Manthe.
Holacracy, an empowering management model without managers. So long, managers. Hello, Holacracy. Holacracy is a new way of running an organization. The holocratic model removes power from the typical top-down management hierarchy and distributes it to the team members doing the work. Holacracy was developed to increase responsiveness, remove obstacles, and create clarity. Holocratic companies organize around the work instead of the people who do the work. Titles aren't important, but getting stuff done is. This podcast explores the emergence of holacracy as well as its basic principles. Let's start by getting to know holacracy. Holacracy has gained visibility thanks to famous practitioner Zappos, the online shoe retailer. With 1,500 employees, Zappos announced in November 2013 that it was shifting to a holacracy and to date is the largest company to do so. Besides Zappos, about 300 organizations use Holacracy, including the Washington state government. So far, outcomes from adopting Holacracy have been anecdotal, but basically all organizations that make the shift expect to gain efficiency and drive productivity. Zappos adopted a holocratic framework to prevent the company from becoming too rigid, too unwieldy, and too bureaucratic as it grows. In other words, leaders saw that bureaucracy was getting in the way of adaptability. Holacracy, as a term and practice, was developed by software entrepreneur Brian Robertson, who had interest in how people work together. In 2007, Robertson co-founded Holacracy One, which helps organizations implement Holacracy. And, on a side note, Holacracy One holds the registered trademark for Holacracy. Holocratic companies may be a fringe trend, but there's definitely movement towards simplification. Agile models with lean processes show up at Google, Amazon.com, which is Zappos' parent company, Uber, and Spotify. The speed of business today inspires these new agile practices. A holocratic practice may accelerate decisions and productivity, but it's not easy to adopt and takes widespread commitment. Some employees balk at holocracy, as Zappos found. To get all of its people on board with Holacracy, Zappos gave employees an ultimatum in March 2015. Embrace the strategy or take a buyout. As of January 2016, about 18% of employees so far have taken the buyout. It's a challenging shift that demands vigorous participation. In spite of that, Zappos leader Tony Hsieh says he wishes he would have switched to Holacracy sooner. One benefit so far is that the organization's 20% turnover is well below most other call centers. Holacracy has helped Zappos maximize the number of employees who believe in the company mission, are passionate about customer service, and believe that this is the right culture for them. In short, Holacracy helped Zappos keep truly dedicated team members. Comparing Holacracy to traditional management drives understanding of the non-traditional model. The most common operating model is command and control. Command and control is a hierarchy where decisions come from the top and action lives at the bottom. It's all about your boss and your boss's boss, and it goes up the chain of command from there. In a traditional hierarchy, team members work within their title and department. But when people can't incite change, they often protect their turf and disengage. The organization suffers. To compare, in a holacracy, team members take on roles that match their skill set and company demands. They don't convince someone else, like a boss, to act. They have authority to act on their own. Holacracy is more than getting rid of managers, although that's part of the model. Here's a look at the principles of holacracy. First, work is aligned with roles. Roles are aligned with areas of expertise. One-to-one identification with your title doesn't exist. For example, instead of saying, I am a marketing associate, and I am responsible for X, team members have multiple roles on multiple teams. Roles are works in progress. They are frequently updated by the teams tackling the projects so that roles have authority rather than people. In a holacracy, all the actions critical to success, known as accountabilities, are laid out. Then, roles are created by grouping accountabilities. Roles are the backbone of a holocratic organization. They help create value because, A, team members can use all of their skills, they're not locked into a title. B, the organization may not need to add new staff to get work done. The people who already deeply understand the business have everything covered. C, they encourage creativity, which drives productivity. D, stuff gets done effectively because skill sets are appropriately matched. And E, people feel like they're working as a team versus inside silos. Second, networks outrank hierarchies. Teams as we know them don't exist in a holacracy. Instead, people work within circles. While it's true holacracies don't have managers, each circle has a lead link who assigns people to roles. The lead link can define work priorities and strategies, but cannot tell people what to do. Functions may be delegated away from the lead link, but no additional functions may be added to the role. Third, team members are autonomous. Leadership is distributed throughout the company, and meetings give team members authority to move forward without say-so from a higher-ranking team member. Everyone becomes an entrepreneur in his or her role. The goal is serving the purpose and customer. In a self-managing environment, lead links balance trusting their team with driving accountability. Fourth, meetings are used for rapid iteration. Meetings help guide work toward incremental improvements. The meetings follow strict rules where everyone has a voice, but there's no call for consensus. Self-organizing teams hold two types of meetings, tactical and governance. Tactical meetings are for triage of work. Governance meetings, usually held monthly, determine revisions to roles and processes to reflect changing team conditions. Governance meetings may change functions for lead links. Incremental steps versus a massive reorganization in a traditional organization shifts who owns what work. In a holacracy, proposals are safe to try. Anyone can make or change a proposal at any time. The high frequency of proposals means there's less pressure for perfection. As long as a proposal is safe to try, in other words, it will help collect valuable data. It's a go. Proposals are rejected only if the circle doesn't have domain or if there's proof one could harm the organization before it could be mitigated. In the safe-to-try framework, you can't simply object because you don't like an idea or have a better one. Even if you make more mistakes this way, you'll learn and course-correct faster. And fifth, everything is documented for the sake of transparency. Authority lives in the process. It's documented in a holocratic constitution, not a top leader. A written document lays out ownership, decision-making, and accountability. The Constitution identifies who will act as lead link from the individual or group ratifying the Constitution. The lead link in the Constitution ratifying anchor circle is responsible for designating lead links for subcircles, and those subcircle lead links designate lead links for their subcircles. A documentation system helps record rules, changes over time, and lessons learned. This transparency empowers team members by providing context. Organizations may employ a wiki or other internet-based solution to aid in adoption, record-keeping, and ongoing practice of holacracy. Transparent communication tools, for a price, also exist. So what does holacracy look like in action? And can it help make money? Consider the case of Blinkist, which produces summaries of nonfiction books you can read in an app. Customers ask frequently for audio versions of the summaries. To enable the creation of audio versions, Blinkist shifted from a complex command and control model to a nimble holacracy, getting rid of titles and signing up everyone with roles. The switch allowed a more multidisciplinary approach to completing the work, which wasn't possible in the old organizational structure. Thanks to the holacracy, The audio project was ready for customers in just 2 months, and since its launch, audio has been the biggest driver of the threefold monthly revenue increase. Holacracy is a new practice, but it's creating value for some organizations. A fresh perspective brought about by Holacracy can help you identify new opportunities. Want to know whether this model could work for you? Take a test drive. It's not an all-or-nothing practice. Even in small doses, this management method can shake up any team that takes it on. It just may be worth the challenge.
Thanks for listening to part one of this two-part series on Holacracy. For more information about this topic, make sure you check out our blue paper and infographic at 4imprint.com/bluepapers.